this afternoon is those that seek me early. Let's say God, those that seek me early. You see, there is a time to seek the Lord. It is very important. If you read today's weekly rhema, you know, that's, I think, is something to do with that time to seek the Lord. It was a few days ago when I was reading my Bible, just reading and scribbling down some things. I never knew that I'll be sharing this. So those that seek me, let's open our Bible to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Let's read from the Amplified Bible because of time. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Are we there? So here, Solomon was writing, and even though he's talking about wisdom, but the Bible says that Christ is what? The wisdom of God. So he's talking about a person here. I want to see it from that standpoint of view, not just waking up in the morning and seeking God for wisdom to prosper. No. We're talking about seeking Christ, who is the what? The wisdom of God and the power of God. Let's look at that. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently shall find me. God has made it so simple. So we don't wake up in the morning and we don't know what we're doing. Like those that went across the Sea of Tiberias to say they were seeking for Jesus. You know, that's not what we're seeking for Jesus. Like I said on Wednesday, by the grace of God, we need to have a 2020 vision for the next decade. That is, it needs to be clear to us what we are seeking, how to get to it. So we don't wander again in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. So well, let's run again. Let's read it once again. I love those who love me, and those who seek me what? Early. Say what? Early. And what? Diligently shall find me. Scripture number one. Let's go to scripture number two. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 in the KJV. KJV, please. The Lord was talking to them, and he says, and you shall seek me, and shall what? Find me. When? Say when? Conditional. You seek, when you search for me with all your heart. Say all your heart. He didn't say some of your heart. So we see here, it's very, very simple. In the book of Proverbs that we read, God says that, Lord Jesus Christ says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early will find me. Jeremiah says, the same Lord is talking to Jeremiah, saying that, Lord, that if you seek me diligently with all your... So we see three things there. For us to find God, we need three basic things. And I put it here, I'll just say it for clarity and understanding. We need to, first of all, seek him early. Say, seek him early. Seek him diligently, and I seek him with all our hearts. Very simple. Once again, seek him early. Also, seek him diligently with all our hearts. So those are the things that we need to, first of all, we have to seek him very early. You don't seek God at the last minute. It may be too late. God must take priority in our lives. Are you following me? He must be number one, the first person we seek. And then as we seek him, we must seek him diligently. Diligently means applying consistent, concentrated, well-directed effort. And then we do that with all, did he say some? No. He said all our hearts, that means our wills, our minds, and our emotions. That is how God wants us to seek God. And the thing is this, he has given us a guarantee from those two scriptures that we read, that we are going to find him. So if we don't find him, that means we did not seek him early, we did not seek him diligently, and we did not seek him with all our hearts. We are going to seek him early, diligently, with all our hearts. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important for us to see those scriptures. Now the question is, why are we looking for God? The question is, why are you? You know, in those days, they will say lost and found. God is not lost. We are the ones that are lost. Are you following me? So why are we looking for God? We'll see as I continue. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 6, it says, very thou art the God that hideth thyself. God hides himself. You see why Isaiah 45 verse, we say, very thou art the God that what? Hideth thyself. God hides himself. That is, if you are just looking for God on the surface, you won't find him. It's until you press deeper. Those are the types and shadows you see in the high priest going from the outer court to the holy place, to the most holy place. Are you following me? Because he resides in the most holy place. Praise the Lord. Let's put a script behind this. I already quoted Isaiah 45, verse 15, saying, very thou art the God that hideth thyself. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17. Please hurry up. Yeah. Said, this Isaiah talks, I will wait upon the Lord that does what? Hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. The question, brethren, why do I have to look for God? That means you can't just see God. In the midst of Body of Christ today, you see different things going on, different revivals, and you discover that God is not there. That is, he makes it clear. He said, I will wait upon the Lord. That is, he's not rushing up and down. And that hideth is what? His face. Many see his hand, but we are talking about seeking his face. If you go to a meeting today and miracles are taking place, are you following me? That does not necessarily mean that God is present there concerning his face. We are talking about his glory. Those are the gifts in operation. That Bible says that at the end time, many will come to me and will say, Lord, Lord, I have not cast out devils in your name. I have not done so, so and so in your name. So I will say, depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Even God of Songs of Solomon, in Songs of chapter 8, I believe in verse, I can't remember, 3 or 4. He says something. He says that, set me a seal upon my heart and upon my arm, because love is stronger than hate. What are we saying? You see, we need to seek God. We need to have a passion like never before for God in this hour. I give an example that just came to my when I was coming up. So I just quickly mention and go. You know, I've been many of us are married there. The day before I got married, I could not sleep. I look back and I say, why God, why couldn't I just? I could not eat. If you ask for someone, I could not eat. I was like this. God, God, God. I'm telling you, all I did that day, I just took one soya milk. They just say soya milk in church. You say I put one big bottle of soya milk. I just couldn't wait. My heart kept going, honey, you see what you have caused. So you see, open the Songs of Solomon chapter 3. That is the thing that should happen to you every night before the dawning of a new day. You see, when you can understand the natural, then you can understand the spiritual. That's why Paul said that husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it. That may cleanse and sanctify with the washed. He was using the husband and wife relationship to show what should be happening between you and Jesus Christ. Notice he said, them that love me, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early will find me. See, that day, I could not wait till the next day. I kept on checking this time. I kept on checking this time. I kept on checking this time. That my everything was in place. My tie, my everything. I kept on cleaning my shoe. I was just saying, far about it now. Are you following me? So, that's what I'm saying. So, what are Songs of Solomon say? I said, Songs of Solomon chapter 3, please follow me. Just to show you, I'm trying to build up something here. You see, because it is the degree to which you love him that will seek him. The manner to which you love the master will determine how much you will seek him. It's like when in those days, if you are hungry before going to bed, you are thirsty before going to bed. When you wake up, the first thing you do is you rush for where there is water to drink. So you must go to bed every night hungry for Christ. So let's see what does it say. It says, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Next verse, please. Next verse, please. I will rise now. Let's go down. And go about the city, in the streets, and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You see, the next thing, did he go back? No. You keep on seeking him. Next verse. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw him whom my soul loveth. Next verse. And it was but a little, say a little, that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loved. What did you do? I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and to the chamber of her that conceived me. Prophetically speaking, do you know that was what Isaac did when they brought Rebecca? He took him, this is exactly what the chamber of her own mom. So what are we saying? He's saying that this is the kind of passion that we need to have for God in this season. We need to be hungry for him. We need to be thirsty for him. We need to wake up early seeking him. And I dare say, thank God for good morning, Jesus. But we don't stop there. That's why he went a little further after the watchman. You see, it's a personal thing. You see, the good pastor said, it's a booster to give you the disciplines of Christ. Firstly, to get up early. And then secondly, to practice praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. So get a booster like a kick in the morning. You don't stop there. Then you go further. He said, I went a little further and I found him and I took him and brought him to my mother's chamber. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to understand that. I mentioned somebody, I don't want to lose my time. I said, why are we seeking God? I mentioned Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17. We're already ready. Yeah. Why are we seeking God? Because of one basic reading. Listen. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, verse 2, it says, your sins and your iniquities have made him to hide his face from me. Let's open the Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, let's read from verse 1 just to understand. Because people are praying and praying and praying and expecting to see God. But he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. That is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Next verse. This is the reason. But your iniquities have what? Separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you. That he will not hear. So what makes God hide? God cannot behold iniquity. That on the cross, even his son, he said, Father, Father, why was thou forsaking me? Because when he became sin on the cross, the Father hid himself. That's why we have to get up and seek him early. Praise the Lord. So I put it there. I said something else, which is very, very important for us. I said that who are those that seek him early, diligently, with all their heart? We need to know those that are seeking him. Like I read in Proverbs chapter 8. He said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So it is the degree to which we love him that will seek him and find him. Matthew chapter 28, verse 37. He said, what does he say? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, say, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy might. So how are we going to seek him? Who are those that seek him? Those that seek him in this day are those that love him. With all their hearts, with all their wills, with all their emotions, with all their might. That's what Matthew chapter 22, verse 27 says. Let's open to John chapter 14, verse 21. Let's read. John chapter 14, verse 21. So that it's not just some, it's not obscure to us when we say we are seeking God. Are you following me? We are seeking God when we love him with all our hearts, all our wills, all our minds, all our emotions, and all our strength. That's how we seek God daily. Are you following me? So John chapter 14, verse 21, what does it say? It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that what? Loveth me. So you know what it means to love God now when you keep his commandments. In the book of Matthew chapter 22 that I read, I skipped the verse. Open verse 38. He said this is the great commandment. Talking about the love of God. So it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will, back to John please. And I will manifest myself to him. Please go back to John chapter 14, verse 21. Please just stay with the scriptures I quote. John chapter 14, verse 21. Say, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And the consequence of that is, I also will love him and will manifest. Like this, I will come out from my hiding. I will no longer hide again. Are you following me? Then he goes further to say in the book of, move to verse 23 because of time. He says the same thing. Jesus said, why will you not manifest yourself to us? But what does he say? He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. I will come unto him and make a abode. That is, apart from appearing from my hiding, I will now be living with him. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. How many of us desire to have that? That should be our desire. But look at where he starts from. He says, those that love me, I love them. And then, those, because that consequence of that love for Jesus is what drives you to wake up early in the morning, like that Shunammite woman, and begin to go about early in the morning to seek him. Praise the Lord. Now, I put it there. I say, when do we seek him? It's very, very important. When are we to seek Jesus Christ? Let's open our Bibles. I have two reasons here. I say, early in life and early in the day. Very important. Say early in life and early in the day. Let's look at early in life. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Yeah, just call it in Ecky. Are we there? So what does it say? In Amplified. Amplified, please. Amplified. What did he say? Say, you know, it says, remember earnestly also your Creator. That you are not your own, but his property now. In the days of your youth, before the evil days come, or the years draw near, when you will say of the physical pleasures, I have no enjoyment in them. Ah, may God give our youth understanding. You see, I talk with a background of a lifestyle of worldliness. I don't glory in it. But I look back and I say, ah, oh my God, if I knew. If I knew. But thank God for his mercy and grace, because there is therefore no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus. He says, remember earnestly, say earnestly, also your what? Creator. That you are not your own. If you are a born again child of God in your youth, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Are you following me? He said, you are his property. He said, remember in the days of your youth. Why would he say remember in the days of your youth? Why? Because it is possible and easy to forget in the days of your youth. Why would he say remember not to do something? Why would God be telling you to remember something? Because it's possible to forget in the days of your youth. Because when you are youthful, you want to do things, you want to, like, you just want to play around, you just want to do everything. But God is saying, no, no. I need you when you are young. I follow me. Say, before the evil days come, or the years draw near, when you will say of physical pleasures, I have no enjoyment. That is, physical pleasures seek to attract our youths. Bible says, Paul says, flee youthful lust. Say, flee youthful lust. So it's now when you are now old, you don't have pleasure in going for, God forbid, you're not supposed to go for parties or anything. You don't have pleasure in those things again. I say, okay, when I'm old now, then your bones are kicking and you say, let me stop God. No! God wants a youthful energy. So, we remember him early in life. We also remember him early in the day. Second scripture for early in life, Psalm 110, verse 3. Says that your youth shall, you know, like we quote it for when they talk about good morning Jesus, are we there? It says, your people shall be offer themselves willingly in the day of your power. In the beauties of, okay, now put it in NIV or Amplified Bible. It explains better. In Amplified or NIV, please. Okay, let's have it. Say, your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power. In the beauty of holiness and in holy area, out of the womb of the morning, to you will spring forth your young men who are as the dew. God is looking for young men that have that the zeal, that zeal that they used to do all every other thing they do. God wants them to divert that zeal to loving Jesus Christ. Yes, we need parents like Anna that will take Samuel to the house of the Lord and make sure he goes there. We need parents like Mary and Joseph that will make sure that at Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, they will bring the Lord Jesus to the house of God. There is no point you coming to church and leaving your children behind. Those days are over. Yes. Those days are over because God is looking for young men. It is the man-child company that God is looking for. So that I and the children that God has given us for signs and wonders. They are not for social media. They are not for distracted. They are not to be longing after the things of the world. God forbid bad thing. So that is why we need to seek him early. The second why we have to seek him early, I said I have to seek him early in the day. Say early in the day. Early in the day. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. It says that he woke up a great while before dawn and he departed to a solitary place and prayed. That is the second reason why we have to seek him early. We seek him when we are young. We also seek him early in the day. If you are old, does that mean you don't seek him? No. Your youth is really not good. My youth is really not good. So that's why I'm seeking God now. Trying to catch up for lost time. Praise the Lord. That's what happened to Paul. When Paul got born again, he said, what? I've lost so much time. He said, well, whatever it's going to take. He saw the something ahead. He just kept on going. Nobody could stop him. The Apostle Peter could not stop him. Barnabas could not stop him. The devil could not stop him. He said, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, why most youths think they have time? It's because they think that, okay, let me do this when I serve God. But the legitimate things of life, no. Live like you have no tomorrow. Live like you have no tomorrow. I follow me, because if you give your life to him, I'm saying get born again now, your time and your energy, I follow him. That is why now when you are now old like Joshua and Caleb, I follow me, he will add more life. He will remember. Yes, that then this guy was young. He used to do this. He used to do this. He used to do this. You see, I'm getting ahead of myself. I see people come. You see, I won't mention their names. I see some of our brethren. They bring their children to church for all nights. I'm always encouraged. They wake them up, pulling them around. You are pray, pray, pray. That is what we ought to do. That is what we ought to do. He had no business staying back at home. If Jesus Christ took back at home at Passover, how will he know that it was him that was the Passover lamb? It's as he came to church or the synagogue and they opened the scriptures. He said, "Lord, that is you. That is you." If he had stayed back at home playing with whatever, I don't know how these games they play. How will he have known? How will he know? Because there was no Bible in those days. They came to the synagogue to hear the word of God. It is what they heard. I looked at and said, "Okay, that is you." That's how he discovered things written concerning me in this book. So it's not a question whether he's tired or no. No, no, son, you're not going to be tired. You follow me. I'm not saying that they don't stay back to study. That's what I'm saying. But they prioritize the things of God before your children. You lead them by example, and then you also carry them along and make sure they do it. Because there will come a time they're not going to be able to tell them to do it again. By the time they leave your house, are you following me? They will not be able to. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? So if you look at people like Mary, Types and Shadows, the Bible said that he went to the graveyard a great while before dawn to go and seek Jesus Christ. I know the end of the story. She was patient enough. Now scripture Isaiah says wait. All the other two apostles, they went away. But Mary just waited. And see, why did he see him? It was very simple. He wasn't skeptical about the resurrection. All she came to say, who will help us to remove the stone? Then Jesus Christ appeared and said, what are you looking for, woman? He said, whom seek you? Why are you crying? Why are you praying every morning? He said, where have they laid him? That I may carry him. That's what love does. When you love somebody, when you are tired, you go the extra mile. Then Master now revealed himself to her and said, Mary. He said, Rabboni. He said, the Bible says he thought as he was a gardener. He would check the scriptures. That is the only place in the Bible that the Bible called the master a gardener. Why? Because he is the one that tends the garden of our hearts. So he revealed himself to him. So what am I saying? It's important for us to seek him. So I mentioned Lord Jesus. Let's just look at this book of scriptures. At the age of 12, Luke chapter 2 verse 49. Luke chapter 2 verse 49. This was when he was at the age of 12. So, and he said unto them, the Bible said before, they said, they took him to the synagogues as was their custom. They did it every time. So, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wit ye not, I must be about my father's business. Who told you that at the age of 12, your children cannot know their heavenly father's business? How come Samuel knew? I follow me. They can know. Depends on how you present Christ to them. They can know. God reveal it to them. They can know from that very early age. Because the same zeal to which they follow the secular thing, which is not wrong, and they understand and know, at that same God will reveal to them the measure they need to know. Just like Joseph. Joseph did not fully understand the dream. All he saw was that God revealed to him that so and so and so will bow down for you. If that is what they need to hold them on to Christ, then God will show it to them. This man just passed on to the glory of God, Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Thank God for such men. I remember a story that he told, just digress a bit. He said that when he was very young, you know, he was in his service like this. His father was a pastor. And as he sat down in front, you know the story? And his father was sitting down. And the service was going on. There were people in wheelchairs, or maybe one wheelchair, sitting in front. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He was a very young boy. I can't remember the age. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, go and pray for that woman in the wheelchair, paraphrasing, and I will heal her. He said, he was afraid. He said he looked at the corner of his eye, saw his father sitting down. His father, he will beat, he will knock him. He said he was afraid. The Holy Spirit said, get up, go and pray for that woman. Why will God bypass an elderly person and go and talk to a small boy? Heart. So he stood up and he went, he said he sneaked like this. He must not see me. So in case nothing happens, I quickly repeat, you know, I was finished. But God spoke to him. How did he recognize the book? Anyway, the call was so short. He prayed for that woman, laid her, boom, the woman stood up and started walking. At a very young age. You see, if we don't do what we are supposed to do, don't let me say we will do, we are already doing. Those that don't do what they are supposed to do, God will bypass them, like Pastor was talking today. and go and meet younger people to provoke them. Why do you think that the young prophet was sent to Samaria? One of the elderly prophets there, sitting down. Why? Because the guy was not doing what he was supposed to do. I sat down there the other day, I was saying, but God, why did you tell him not to eat? And Lord spoke to me. But he said, don't eat anything, don't drink anything. If I say you understand, why did God tell him that? Simple. Because, you see, that was where Jeroboam had built the altar. So the whole city was given to idolatry. So God did not want that man to partake of that table. But he said, you shall not partake of the tables of idols. So God is not wicked, though. So God said, that's why I told him not to eat there. He said, don't partake of the table of devils. The old prophet was already eating from that table. I was like, God, don't eat there, don't drink there. Just walk straight out of the place. Like in Athens, he said that the old city was given to idolatry. So God could not use him again. God sidetracked him. Let me get my story. That's just a bit of a digression. So it's very important for us to understand that. I'm talking about Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 12. Verse 52. He knew his father's blessing. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. You know the story? After he said that, what I want to say is that he understood his purpose in life at the age of 12. And why I'm saying that is that all our young children can understand. Are you following me? Because you have Samuel as an example. You have David as an example. You have many examples in the scriptures. Are you following me? And then he went back and submitted to his prayer. I said, he grew in wisdom. Praise the Lord. Let's open to John chapter 9, verse 4. You're looking at Lord Jesus Christ as a type. John chapter 9, verse 4 in Amplified. You see? Are we there? Yeah. What does he say? See? Master was saying, we must, without distraction, we must work the works of him who has sent me and be what? Busy. So it's not talking about physical busyness. He's talking about being busy about the Father's business. Can you connect? Now he's 30 years plus. I don't know the age here, but it's 30 years. So we must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it is daylight. The night is coming on when no man can walk. There is going to come a time, brethren, that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, there will come a time that you'll not be able to do it again. But we'll do it in Jesus' name. So why am I saying what I'm saying? I look at the life of the master. He knew at the age of 12. At 30, he had received the spiritual admission. And he said, look, I don't have time for nonsense. This anointing is for a particular purpose. So I must go about. Say, because the night is coming. That I will not be able to walk. If it was the day that we were going to crucify him, he could not do anything again at Gethsemane. It was too late. What I was saying, there is a time. So why is this message very important? Look at just dovetails into the reason why. Why are we calling us to seek him? The first reason is very, very simple. It is the time to seek the Lord. Say, it's time to seek the Lord. There is a time. You see, there is always a time to seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6. What does it say? Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found. Let's read together. Right? Say, seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he's near. He said, that means there is a time that will not be able to find him. It's different times for different people. There's a time you'll not be able to find him. We'll find him in Jesus' name. In the book of Revelation, there was a time that the glory filled the temple. That is the time. Say, so nobody could enter again. If you miss your batch, you will take the mask of God to enter. It's in batches. If your batch is supposed to graduate and you don't, then you miss your. Like, if you are supposed to be apostles of a lamb and you missed it, you can't be apostle of a lamb again. That means the person has missed the written concerning him in his book. There are only 12 apostles of a lamb. So if Peter was supposed to be there and he didn't go, when Master said, go back, stop fishing, he will not be there. Somebody else will replace him. I found time to say, so there is a time for everybody. I follow him in. Praise the Lord. So it's time to seek the Lord. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will read it into Hosea 6, 1 to 3. There is a time. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. He was talking. He said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge, that's the Lord talking. Till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. You see, this is telling us that if at times when we get so comfortable, The Lord allows affliction to come to get us out of that comfort zone. It's good for me to be afflicted. That my line of statutes. So God said, I know they will come. They will seek me. I know he won't pray. He won't pray. He already has a house. He's married. He has children. He has a car. Everything is fine. And then people are hailing, Rabbi, Rabbi. He's not going to pray. So he allows affliction to come from nowhere. Bah, 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 bah. Then you say, aren't you? Before you say, let's go to church, he's already at 1 hour before. Before you say, all night, he's doing 1 hour before for all night. I follow him. Why affliction? There's something about the sin nature. The Bible says that Moab is something about Moab. He is resting on his legs. Somewhere like in the book of Isaiah or Jeremiah. That the sin nature needs to be put under pressure all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. Especially when kings ought to go to battle. So I will go. See, I will see my face. And after, next verse. Go to. Yes, thank you. It's a continuous discourse. I'm talking about it. It's a time to seek the Lord. That's why you see all the pressure coming in from the world. It's pushing the church, you and I, to a corner. All this act, all what's going on, whatever, I don't care whatever, weather patterns, whatever. It's pushing us to a corner. That we will now wake up and say, no, I can't take it again. I now take the blood, the word, and the spirit and fight back. You see, if you are still dodging, you will go to work. They say you can't read your Bible. I mean, on the way, not necessarily in a school. They say you can't, like you are doing abroad. They say you can't pray. You can't, they are pushing them to the corner, but they are still saying, okay, no problem. God will allow something else to come. All these funny people, they will come again. They will put their eyes upon and say, okay, I don't want to talk too much about all this nonsense they do. You know why? But you see, they will come to a place where they push you to a corner. Now have to fight back. So he says, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and will bind us up. Next verse. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, will he raise us up? And we shall live in his sight. Next verse. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us like the rain, as that rain and former rain upon the earth. So what am I saying? Say, there is the time to seek God. This is the time. That is why all the things, the trials and temptations are coming upon the world. It's not to destroy us. It's for us to arise up and to shine. I follow him to take up our weapons and fight back. Take the battle to the gates. Praise the Lord. So why is it important? Like that? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. I already mentioned, I want to put a scripture behind it. So we can understand. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. He says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. He says, seek me early, but he shall not find me. If we read the upper verses, he says that, look, I've been crying. Wisdom is crying. Come, do this. I provide myself. You didn't answer me. There will come a time that the door will be shut. You know those five foolish virgins? Yes, that we are knocking. Because there is a time, folks, when that Kairos woman, tomorrow, somewhere I'm saying, when that Kairos woman that in which we have to seek God and find him. Because there is coming a time that will be possible to seek him again. Yeah. The next reason why it's very important, the message is important, is to see thy power and thy glory. Say, to see thy power and thy glory. Psalm 63, which is from verses 1 and 2. Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2. What does it say? The psalmist was like, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Talk about life of God. Putting life of God. I want to go into that. But putting, not talking about natural water here. It's life of water is type of life of God. He said, my soul, that is having life of God in your mortal body, in your soul. That's what he's talking about. Say, why you do this? It takes waking up early. I follow me. Next verse. Say, to see what? Two things. To see what? Thy power and what? Thy glory. So as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. So he desires to see two things. Say, thy power and thy glory. So the water, the life, gives back to the power. Then the power now gives right to the glory. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So how are we going to do this? Firstly, it's in that order. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 to explain this thing further. It is the power that you receive in the place of prayer that helps you to live a godly life. It is to see thy power and thy glory. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 is in this same order you see. Thou hast loved righteousness. Here he's talking about right doing, not right standing. Every Christian loves right standing because it's free. You don't have to love that. It's free. Are you following me? So he's talking about right doing. Say, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed with the oil of gladness above effort. So you must love righteousness first. Right doing, which is the perfection of the love of God. And hate iniquity, which has to do with everything that has to do with the flesh. Then God will anoint you with all of that, the spirit that measure above thy fellow. So let's look at this issue of the power. Good round of very soon. I said the power of God. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5, it says that some people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That means it takes power to live a godly life. Are you following me? It takes power. And that is the criteria. Before you can, if you don't get that, you cannot get the spirit that measure. Or you are limited in the measure. Because that is love, righteousness, and hatred. Therefore, that is the reason why God anointed him with oil of gladness above his fellows. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So the power for godliness. I just mentioned the scripture because of time. Let's go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read. It talks about this power. That's the first thing. He said, I will seek you early to seek thy power and thy glory. What does it say? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Next verse. This is the verse I want us to see. Next verse, please. Says, according as his divine power are given unto us all things that what pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, etc. What I want us to see is this. There is a power behind godliness. And that is the first reason we are seeking him. That power of godliness will be made manifest in our mortal body. I follow him so I can be living a godly life. We must love righteousness and hate sin. The Bible says you bear the fruits of righteousness. That is love in summary. Now, the next thing I want us to see is also the glory. You see, this first part of seeing his power, the knowledge to seek that power has already been given. Bible says that you will pray, he will give you the early and the former rain in the first month. And the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about teaching of righteousness. So the teaching to acquire the power to be righteous in your conduct has been given. So the next thing we are looking forward to now is the manifestation of God. That's why he said, I'll see your power and thy glory. So as I have seen you in the sanctuary, that has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So what is this glory we're talking about? It is the same glory that Lord Jesus Christ inherited. So from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, that I quoted, that is the same glory that God has promised us. And he has shown us the pathway that has loved righteousness, that has hated iniquity, therefore. That's the reason why God anointed him. Let's open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read together. Whereunto he called you. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he has called us to obtain the same glory that he gave the Lord Jesus Christ because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. So if we too love righteousness the same way he loved righteousness, and we hate iniquity to the degree which he hated iniquity. Mommy always prays from that scripture every morning. And good morning, Jesus. We also, God will anoint us with the spirit of that measure, the oil of gladness that's above our fellows. Now, what we are saying is, you don't have to be perfect, but be under the covenant of a perfect leadership. So the more righteousness you love, that is to practice, the more of a spirit of that measure you are going to get. This is what's going to come on those that have perfected the love of God, like the fathers of the house. Are you following me? So when it comes upon them, you are also going to see different degrees of operations amongst the body of Christ. 7 deacons were chosen. Only 2 manifested. And you see the various degrees. Stephen preached, but look at what Philip did. So you see different degrees of the board anointing. So it's not as if God is going to give everybody the same measure. No, the degree to which you are working out your salvation with fear and trembling will determine the amount of the measure, like Pastor was preaching today about the menorah. As you begin to grow, you see that power that you're looking for is to go from spiritual babe to spiritual father. So as you begin to grow, God begins to move you from saint to deacon, from seeking to deacon to the fivefold ministry. Are you following me? So that's how you begin to move. That's how the body is supposed to be growing. So the measure of that grace increases until you now become those olive trees. Are you following me? That you preach this morning. So praise the Lord. That's very important. The same anointing that he has promised us. Say, whereunto he called you. To the by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in this lifetime. We need to understand, I keep repeating, in this lifetime. You see, there is a stronghold that people find it difficult to believe as saints. That maybe it's not, he said that the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than this shall you do. says, arise, shine, for the light is come, for the glory of God is upon you. I found him, said, Gentiles have come to light. There's no Gentiles coming to your light in heaven. You can find to say, so that glory is here in the nasty now and now. We need to believe it because we can receive it. Praise the Lord. So that is that. Now the third point, which we all know, when we now receive that glory, it is that glory that we are going to take to the nations, to disciple the nations. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8, you have to turn there. It says, after the glory, has he sent me to the nations. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, let's read before we now look at the how and close. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, I've quoted Zechariah 2 8. It says that after the glory, has he sent me to the nations. You see, what we are talking about is not what we have seen. Let me put it that way. It's not what we have heard about. It says, I had not seen. He has not heard. You know, the thing that God has reserved for those that love him. The condition is loving. So it's not what we have seen thus far. Are you following me? It's something we have not seen before. But we can believe God for it. So Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. The master said, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Next verse. Next verse, please. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Teaching them to observe all things wheresoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, we need the power to teach them. I said, my doctrines are distilled as the rain. We've had the former rain. We are already receiving latter rain. It is this teaching of a doctrine that we are going to take to every ethnos. And we are going to teach them, disciple them, before the end can come. So you go to a village. You see some people there. You teach them. You see, don't think that this is so. It's not complex. It's very, very simple. That's why Pastor has taught us recently. He says, just teach them to perfect the love of God. They don't have to be educated. Peter was not educated. He carried the border. It's about the heart. When the heart is right, what is on the Father will flow on the Son. But as the Father has life in himself, so has he given his Son to have life in himself. So once they become, they have the heart of a Son, the thing will flow to them. Praise the Lord. So how are we going to do this? I put it as how are we going to get this done? You know, we need to seek him early by seeking to perfect the love of God. It's very simple, like I was sharing on Wednesday. God has made it very simple. Now, how do we do that? I'll go back to that scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. 10, 12. Now, Moses was talking. This was before they entered the promised land. He was giving them instructions. He said, now, let's together. And now, Israel, talking about the old church, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Look. He like, what is so Moses? But look, what? I don't understand. Look, Israel, are you wasting time? What does the Lord thy God require of thee? Now begins to say. Say one, but to fear the Lord thy God. To walk in all his ways and to love him. Say two. And then to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. In that order, you choose the fear of God daily. You choose to walk in his ways, which is love. That I joined it to love God. I found Bible says, I show you a more excellent way. Start talking about the love of God. So then the second thing is to love, to walk in all his ways and to love him. And the third thing is you now serve him. You see, when you wake up in the morning, I begin to round up, you choose the fear of God. The fear of God starts with the attitude of reverential fear of God, which you don't want to disobey him. I found myself starting of his chastening of disobey and the security of his mercy when you obey. That's one aspect. That's the attitude. But what does it boil down to on a day-to-day basis? Like we taught pillar number one of seven pillars of wisdom. Honesty and humility of heart. Say honesty and humility of heart. It's so simple. Put up your hand if you cannot exercise honesty and humility of heart. Put up your hand. Did you? Boaz, he left. Maybe you need help. I said, if you cannot exercise honesty and humility of heart, put up your hand. That means all of us can exercise honesty and humility of heart, right or wrong. Now, what God is saying is this: increase the measure or the degree of the honesty and the humility of your heart. Everybody, if you are not honest, you won't be born again, right? But God wants you to increase that measure. Why? Because Peter number one, honesty gives mercy, and humility gives grace. But it gives grace to the humble. And when the Bible says, "Mercy of all his tender works," and the Bible says that who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? he that speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, what is the issue now? It's not so much as staying where we are in the degree of honesty and of heart. No, increasing the measure. Because it's now the sufficiency that will determine what will happen. That's what I want us to see in this message. So don't say we already know it. No, we know it. But how far are you? Are you brutally honest? Terribly honest, if I can use that expression. I find because God is sifting and searching the hearts of men. I gave an example the other day. I don't want to give an example that you can say something and mean something like Judas. Judas, when that man watching Jesus, broke the alabaster box. He said, this thing should have been sold for 300 so-and-so silver and given the poor. The master discerned his heart. He said, it's not because he loved the poor, but because of what he could get. Honesty of heart. That is, I don't want to give examples, I don't put them, but that is, you are brutally honest about your thought life. The things you think, the things you say, why you said this, why did you say it? To the outside world, it will be okay. People have said, out of all of us, Judas, the color like in ministry, eh? In fact, he's thinking about how we are going to do our next revival. But no, that's not why. Outwardly, it looked okay. But as far as God was concerned, no reward. Do you get what I'm about to say? So you can take that simple example and extrapolate or use in different areas of your life. Honesty of heart, humility of heart. So you see, it's not so much as saying the right thing, but in your heart. And at times, I can tell you that even you might say the right thing, which is the right thing, but your motive is wrong. So what do you do? Judge yourself. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. My motive for saying this is wrong, even though we have to do it. Do you get what I'm about to say? There are two separate things. So honesty of heart and humility of heart. Like I said, then the next thing we do is this. We now continue in the fear of the Lord all day long. Proverbs chapter 27, I believe. Where is it? I can't find it. Proverbs, where it says that, envy not sinners, but continue in fear of the Lord all day long. I think it's in Proverbs 23:17. So that fear of the Lord that you start with and choose in the morning, you now continue. That's your, to make it simple, that's your daily walk in the Spirit. Are we there? It says, let not thy heart envy sinners. That means your heart can envy sinners. Say, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. What is the fear of the Lord? Honesty and mercy. So all day long you're exercising honesty and mercy. Or you are receiving more mercy, more grace. More mercy, more grace. What are we saying? You are watching and you are praying always. You are watching because that's what is going to lead to when you exercise honesty of heart. That's not good. Father, I confess my sins. You pray. In Jesus' name, Mahala. Do you get the link? So that's the thing you do. Then I said, we put the fear of Lord. And the second thing is the love of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. 5:22. It says that love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So, what have I said in summary? How to get to do these things. How to seek Him early. When you get up early in the morning, good morning, Jesus, you put on the armor, you choose the fear of God to receive sufficient mercy and grace. It's the mercy and grace you receive that will help you to put on the love of God, the hammer of love. And you will be able to continue in love of God all day long. And we'll see that that's why when you put on the fear of God, choose the fear of God, receive sufficient mercy and grace. You put on the armor of love. Are you following me? That's the second thing you do. Then that is only when you can now serve Him. Back to Deuteronomy that I quoted there. Pastor was saying today, say, I thank my God that I serve with my spirit praying for you. Then you can pray. You cannot pray effectively and efficiently if you have not chosen the fear of God and put on the armor of love. Then you now want to serve Him with your spirit. That's why you fall asleep. That's why I fall asleep. But the attitude is not in place. That's why things happen. Are you following me? So it is in that order, the fear of God, the love of God, and then the serving of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the last thing I have here as we pray is that, which is very important, is to stay under covering. Why is it important? You see, the measure you are releasing now can never be sufficient. It can never. So, it is pride for you not to submit to authority. It is pride to harbor offense or bitterness in your heart because you will block the flow, like Pastor was sharing this morning. I'll give you a very simple example. You can have a child and a visitor might come and give, this is your son, I like him, we'll take 10,000 naira. Is that enough to send that child to school? To buy clothes? No. He can only do a very little thing. The child in those days used to have called Boba job. That he can go and do some holiday job. Can that send that child to school, to university? No. He needs the father's covering and the mother. That will not add to that. I follow me. So to sustain him, to send him to school, to send him to, do you get what I'm saying? So the measure you release, because but just by virtue of your spiritual growth, cannot be enough. So that's why God is very, very wise. I follow him, because it's going to take eternity for you to get to that. So he puts you under somebody that is more mature, so that you can begin to tap into what ordinarily you cannot tap into. That is what Peter, James, and John enjoyed in 3 years. He told them, he said, don't rejoice in this. He said, thank you, Emperor, that I revealed this unto babes. So babes can manifest the glory. So in closing, just two scriptures to explain. Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 3. Says, how can ye that seek follow after righteousness? We are talking about right doing. You know, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. Next verse. We all know the scripture. It says, look unto Abraham and your father, and to Sarah that bear you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Why are you looking to them? I follow me. You are looking to them with the right attitude. That's what he's saying. So when you look at this, he's talking about the heart here. It's not looking physically. It's not talking about idolizing somebody. Looking unto them that you can receive. I follow me. From the grace upon them by virtue of growth. Isaiah 32 verse 1. He says that a king shall reign in righteousness. I found that's the last scripture we're going to pray now. It says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Next verse. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, etc., etc. So what am I saying? The most important thing again is this, which I've mentioned. The last thing is covering is important. It is that will add to the measure that you are releasing, so that at the end of the day, when you now begin to seek God early, you will find him, receive power for godliness, and inherit the broad anointing of the glory of God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We are grateful. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord as we rise up to pray. I hear the Lord speak a scripture to my heart, and I'll read it, and I'll explain what I believe he's trying to say. There is a scripture in Proverbs that says that a full soul loads an honeycomb. But what God wants us to have in this day is a fresh hunger and a thirst for him. It is that hunger and thirst for him that will make you go the extra mile. And he has promised us that he will fill us. So I'll read the scripture. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the perfect unction of the Lord God. The perfection of the Lord God. For they shall be filled. Guaranteed. So if your soul is full, cry to God for a fresh hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And you are guaranteed that you too will be anointed with the oil of godliness in due season above your fellows. Let's lift our hands to the Lord as pray. Let's say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us to receive your blood, to cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as you pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that those that seek you early, diligently, and with all their hearts, their wills, their minds, and their emotions will find you. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace to daily use the blood, the word and the spirit, to diligently perfect your love in my life, so that under covering I can partake of a bold anointing, even the spirit without measure, to fulfill your end time purpose of discipling the nations in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray in the spirit. Check it out. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for creating a fresh hunger and thirst for righteousness and fulfilling us in Jesus' name.